Test.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Reno. I'll be taking us through EMP this morning. Let's open up with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for this new day. Your mercies are made new. We thank you for your presence here, Lord. We just welcome you here into this place. We lift up this time to you. We just pray, Lord, that you would soften our hearts, that we may be able to receive what you have to say to us here this morning. We give you the floor. We submit ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's reading comes from Mark 8:14-26. Mark 8:14-26. Let's read that. And they had forgotten to take the bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?" They said to him, 12. "When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Amen. In today's passage, Jesus uses the metaphor of bread as a vehicle to teach and caution the disciples on two key tendencies of human nature. I'll share on the first one briefly and dedicate the rest of the time to the second idea, as there's more to unpack on that front. The first teaching has to do with the human tendency to be forgetful. In context, the disciples had just witnessed not one, but two miracles of God's provision involving bread. Earlier in Mark chapter 6, Jesus multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed 5,000 men and an uncounted number of women and children. The passage even says that there were leftovers, an abundance of provision, that afterward the disciples picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also of the fish. And in the passage immediately preceding in Mark chapter 8, Jesus multiplied 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish to feed 4,000 men and an uncounted number of women and children, again with an overflow of 7 large baskets full of broken pieces. It's no wonder then that Jesus challenges the disciples in their grumbling. "Do you not remember? Do you not yet understand?" While ironic and somewhat comical that the disciples are worrying about provision so quickly after beholding 2 literal miracles, it is by no means an isolated incident, and the Bible is replete with examples of such forgetfulness. One such instance, and this one also involves bread, comes from Exodus, with the Israelites grumbling to Moses and Aaron in the wilderness after being delivered from subjugation in Egypt. This in itself is already a case of forgetfulness, but there's another one being set up here. The Israelites complained about the lack of provision and said, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." In response to this, the Lord gave them manna. "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction." Moses instructed the Israelites as such, and lo and behold, the Israelites failed the test, and the passage later goes on to say, they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. Yet again, in the face of God's provision, the Israelites were quick to forget, even in the midst of literal daily bread being given to them. When Jesus talks about remembrance in Mark chapter 8, it's not in the same sense as forgetting your keys or directions to your favorite restaurant. Rather, he focuses on the spiritual dimension of memory. In another framing, you could see it as a failure to remember formerly understood realities or, put a different way, a propensity to lose faith in the face of challenges and slip into unbelief. By that measure, Jesus is not calling out the disciples on their cognitive recollection, but the condition of their heart. Hence his rhetorical charge, "Do you have a hardened heart?" The relevance here to our everyday life is easy enough to see. How often have we lapsed into anxiety or grumbling in the face of adversity, even as the Lord has provided for us time and again? Jesus' second teaching from the passage has to do with mankind's relationship with bread, both from a literal and figurative sense. That is, the food and nourishment that we physically ingest, as well as the broader notion of reliance and security. The motif of bread and its outsized role in human society has always been a powerful one. Historians trace the dawn of civilization to developments in agriculture, by which ancient peoples were able to create permanent settlements and evolve from hunter-gatherer lifestyles towards self-sufficiency. Closely following the onset of agriculture and the proliferation of grains like wheat came the invention of bread, specifically leavened bread, which had a multiplier effect that enabled kingdoms and empires in the ancient Middle East to feed their ever-growing population centers and, equally, their political conquests. The Mesopotamians and the Egyptians were great beneficiaries of bread making and built their might on the subsistence. Bread was held in such high esteem by the Mesopotamians that in the Epic of Gilgamesh, one of the world's earliest known literary works, the character Enkidu consumes bread as part of his transformation from wild to civilized man. The Egyptians, for their part, depicted the act of baking on their walls, and the pharaohs were even buried with their bread alongside other worldly treasures. Closer to Jesus' time, bread's stranglehold over the human imagination was not lost on the Romans either. They employed an approach called bread and circuses, a combination of keeping citizens well-fed via the distribution of free wheat and appeasement through entertainment programs like the gladiatorial games. It became a bedrock of Roman rule, an intentional demonstration of power and building up of the cult of the god emperors of Rome. Caesar is the one feeding you. Caesar is the one taking care of you. In such a way, bread has come to mean more than just provision, but a wider sense of where trust over livelihood is being placed. Against this backdrop, Jesus' statement on the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod served as a warning for the disciples not to conform to the patterns of their surrounding neighbors. Notably, the preoccupation with building an earthly domain grounded on self-sufficiency and strength. The Pharisees represent worldly authority masquerading as spirituality, while Herod symbolizes political power and control over the state. Both parties are emblematic of the disconnect in Jewish understanding of God's promised kingdom dating back generations. In the previously mentioned account of the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt, they quickly pivoted from the joy of being set free to yearning for the days of captivity, because at least they ate bread to the full. Faced with their trials in the desert, the Israelites lapsed back into their base appetites and sought a return to their old lives. While it wasn't ideal being enslaved, at least they had comfort and security under their Egyptian masters. Desiring subsistence and self-sufficiency like their neighbors, the Egyptians, the Israelites sought to set up a political kingdom of their own in contradiction with God's plan. Speaking through the prophet Samuel, the Lord said to them, "I brought Israel up from Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the power of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But you have today rejected your God, who delivers you from all your calamities and your distresses. Yet you have said no, but set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by our tribes and by our clans." While God offered the Israelites the intimacy and closeness of being his chosen people, the Israelites opted for something more tangible, an earthly ruler in the form of Saul and the provision and security that a warrior king could provide. Saul's reign quickly turned to folly with his disobedience and turning away from the Lord, and David was chosen to be his redemptive successor. David was a shepherd, which in itself is a stark contrast with the kings of the neighboring realms, who have grounded their strength on self-sustaining agricultural systems. Shepherds, after all, do not exist at the level of basic subsistence and are not self-sustaining. They have to go from pasture to pasture to feed their flock and are at the daily mercy of the elements. God's partiality for shepherds is corroborated in Jeremiah chapter 3. "Return, O faithless sons," declares the Lord, "for I am a master to you. And I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. There's something beautifully poetic about King David's very occupation being so closely associated with the notion of dependence and trust in the Lord's daily provision, which he would have had to have sought out in tending to his sheep. The other aspect of Jesus' warning on the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod has to do with its contaminating nature. Leaven, or rising agents, spreads very quickly, and a little goes a long way. If you've ever tried making bread from scratch, you'd see this metaphor play out visually. If you prepare dough and stick it in the oven immediately, you'd get flatbread or something more akin to pizza crust. Introduce yeast or let natural agents take effect on dough, set it aside for a period of time, and the resulting bread will end up exponentially larger after baking. In a similar way, the worldview of the Pharisees and of Herod have an insidious way of corrupting those that are around them. While the scripture commands us to set our mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, the Pharisees and Herod symbolize human belief in institutions and systems rather than faith in the Lord. There is an echo of this morning toward the end of today's passage as Jesus and the disciples came to Bethsaida. The disciples brought a blind man before Jesus, and he restores the man's sight. Jesus then sends the man home saying, "Do not even enter the village." One interpretation of this text could be that while Jesus was willing and did heal people physically along the way in his ministry, he was focused on his primary mission of bringing about spiritual restoration. Telling the man to go home and not publicize his healing may have been Jesus' way of preempting any further distractions. Another potential reading could be that Jesus was concerned for the man's spiritual well-being and newfound faith after experiencing a miracle. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus calls out Bethsaida as one of the unrepenting cities. Quote, "He began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." In context, Jesus may have been steering the man away from the inhabitants of Bethsaida, whose hardness of heart could have been a contagious leaven and stumbling block in his faith journey. To this day, the notion of bread serves as a visceral reminder of the human dependency on the things of this world. Consider how words like breadwinner or bread and butter have become commonplace expressions referring to our jobs, livelihoods, and what we rely on in the day-to-day. In our modern lives, especially in a city like Hong Kong, that's often so preoccupied with economic activity and income, have we become so enamored with the bread of this world that we've put it at the center of our existence? Jesus came to subvert and redeem the way in which we interact with the bread and offers us more than nourishment in this life. In John chapter 6, Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The three empires mentioned earlier, the Mesopotamians, the Egyptians, and the Romans, which prided themselves in their civic apparatus and self-sufficiency, all eventually came to ruin. Today, they've come to be associated equally with human ingenuity and innovation as much as human limitation and hubris. They're a cautionary tale of where we should place our hope, our choice between the finite bread of this world and the eternal kingdom God promises through his Son and the bread of life that comes with him. Can I invite the worship leader to come up? As we go into a time of prayer, let's invite the Lord to search our hearts for areas in our lives that we've placed above trusting him. And these things don't even have to be outright bad things, but perhaps good things that we've come to rely on too much in the everyday. Are we settling for the bread of this world when Jesus offers us the bread of life?
Lord, I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides me. Every hour.